This week, Bernie Sanders stunned the political world and himself with a quarterly fundraising total of $26 million, nearly as much as Hillary Clinton's $28 million. On the Republican side, Donald Trump said if he were president, he would send Syrian refugees back to Syria. And of course, there's been predictable talk about gun control after yesterday's shooting in Oregon. So let's look at the week and the race for the White House.
Joining us today, Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Good to be with you.
And Juana Summers is with us, politics editor at Mashable and formerly of NPR, of course. Hi, Juana.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you both. And I want to start with this talk of gun control. When we watched President Obama yesterday after this, I saw a person who doesn't have to run for office again, even a Democrat who might be in favor of stronger gun control. This is not the person that we would have seen, I don't think, before the last election or in 2008. President Obama probably wouldn't have come out as strongly against gun control. Do you think that the Democratic candidates, Hillary Clinton, Martin O'Malley, Bernie Sanders and others, are going to want to or are going to be able to take that risk and go out and say, I want more gun control after this? I'll start with you, Rick.
I think the Democrats can view this as a winning issue inside primaries because it motivates people and it tugs at heartstrings in such a real and visceral way. They have polling on their side. What they don't have is motivation. That's been the challenge in making the support nationwide for increased gun control into an issue that can move politically is that people don't vote that way unless they're against gun control. And we've seen examples in that direction, but not in the direction that President Obama is pushing. So his passion is real, but the politics I don't see moving.
Well, I think that's what he's trying to do because, you know, in any kind of water cooler conversation, people say, what's the use? This is the new normal. And it sounds like he's trying to shake that up. But can someone like a Bernie Sanders, he has called for sensible gun control measures after this horrific shooting, but he voted against the pro-gun control Brady bill.
This is a soft spot for Senator Sanders. As Juana knows, this is not something that he's comfortable with.
It absolutely is. And then you heard that he spoke with MSNBC last night and was on the defense about the fact that he voted against the Brady bill, of course, signed into law by former President Bill Clinton. He's voted against allowing victims to file lawsuits against gun managers. And he couldn't respond directly when he was asked whether or not his views have evolved on this issue. I think that we're really likely to see this play out, particularly on that debate stage for the first Democratic debate on October 13th, because this is one of those rare issues where Bernie Sanders is actually tacking a little bit to the right of Hillary Clinton, who has been out since the shooting in June in Charleston, South Carolina, where 9 people are killed. And she's talking about guns and saying that it's beyond conscience and that we have to talk about these issues and we have to go at them directly. Very different, notably, than what she did in her 2008 campaign, where she almost never talked about this issue.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the Republican side. Mike Huckabee blasted President Obama. He said he was politicizing the tragedy. He said in a statement, Huckabee, that gun-free zones are sitting duck zones. Now, it's been reported that it's been said by some on the right that Umpqua Community College was gun-free. Reports say it wasn't. In fact, a student was on MSNBC last night saying he had a legal concealed weapon with him in class, but a SWAT team responded first. Then you have Ben Carson commenting in an interview with radio host Hugh Hewitt. Let's listen.
What I worry about is when we get to the point where we say we have to have every gun registered. We have to know where the people are and where their guns are. That's very dangerous. That I wouldn't agree with at all.
Well, and nobody is saying that. So, Rick, this sounds like what you were getting at, though, that people who have a fear of that are more likely to come to the polls than people who vehemently maybe even want gun control but have kind of given up.
There is a frustrating but real paralysis to the discussion around gun control, and it often is because each side spends a lot of time exaggerating what the other side is trying to do, and it gets people retreating to their corners very quickly. We hear, don't politicize the tragedy. We hear, it's time to do something. Now, my sense politically is that if nothing happened after the deaths of all those children in Connecticut and Sandy Hook, that was a moment that it seemed like something was possible, that the mass shootings that are happening now just are very unlikely to shake the politics.
I want to switch gears here a little bit because a lot has happened this week. And Juana, let me move to a foreign policy issue that came up with Donald Trump speaking in New Hampshire and saying that Syrian refugees should not be allowed into the U.S. or that he would send them back. Here he is speaking this week.
I'm putting the people on notice that are coming here from Syria as part of this mass migration, that if I win, They're going back. They're going back. I'm telling you. They're going back.
Okay, so he says they're going back. Ben Carson actually came out and basically agreed with that statement. And then here is Jeb Bush speaking on NBC's Today Show.
The idea that you would send back refugees, when in American history has that ever happened? We have to stand for certain values. And Mr. Trump either doesn't have a sense of history about American values or doesn't care about them. Either way, it's wrong.
Juana, how are the candidates navigating this issue, do you think?
This is just so fascinating to me because we're talking about at least 4 million people who have fled Syria due to the civil war there that Donald Trump is saying they've just got to go back. And it's really interesting because this is really a conscience issue. It's an emotional issue for a lot of people. The United States is committed, as you know, to accepting 10,000 Syrian refugees over the coming year. And I think that the candidates, the way that they're addressing this is really showing the split in the foreign policy of the Republican field as to what role America should play in the broader world. Now, I think that the treatment over Syrian refugees and whether or not they should stay in the country or be sent back, as Donald Trump says, is going to move votes? Not necessarily, but it gives you a really interesting window, I think, into their worldviews.
Rick, what do you think?
The applause that Donald Trump got for that line tells you something about where the votes might be on this. But it is not a serious policy proposal, and it's actually in contradiction to something Donald Trump said just a few weeks ago in a television interview. So I think he's playing to a base here in a way that other candidates are quick to point out. I'm not sure how it plays politically, but I think the idea of telling refugees that you're welcoming here, you got to go back, with the same kind of anger and fervor that's brought around undocumented immigrants is probably not going to end up flying as a serious policy prescription.
That's Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. We're also speaking with Juana Summers, politics editor for Mashable, talking about the week in the 2016 campaign. And let's take a look at the money numbers. As we mentioned, Hillary Clinton bringing in $28 million, mostly through big fundraisers. Bernie Sanders, 26 to her 28, all in small donations, $2 million in 2 hours on social media. On the last night. Here's Bernie Sanders yesterday on our sister show, On Point.
The kinds of crowds we're drawing, the kinds of small donations that are coming into the campaign, the kind of volunteer organizations that we're putting together has gone a lot faster than I thought it would.
Rick Klein, what's Washington talking about when they talk about Bernie Sanders? What's the buzz?
Burn, baby, burn. It is incredible what he has been able to do with almost none of the effort that Hillary Clinton has put into fundraising. The fact that he is close to where she is, the fact that he's close in terms of polling, even without having spent down that bankroll on television ads, something real is going on, and it's being fueled by small dollar donors, which means he can tap back into that pipeline if he's attacked or if he needs to down the road. This is a serious threat to Hillary Clinton, beyond the kind of threat that anyone in Washington, or I would say Brooklyn, where Hillary Clinton has her headquarters, ever anticipated.
Juana, it seems like on the Republican side, the candidate who is really attracting a lot of attention this week is Marco Rubio.
That is absolutely right. Marco Rubio is having something of a moment. He is now being more aggressive when he's talking about Jeb Bush. He is the punching bag of attacks of Donald Trump right now. And I think that for a lot of people who had expected to see Jeb Bush have a breakout moment in this race, who was kind of the heir apparent to the Republican nomination, Marco Rubio has now come in and filled that role.
Okay, well, I want to ask each of you, we're almost up on the 2-minute warning, Jeremy, which is not to make people nervous, but we want to make sure that we hear from you the things that you think are flying under the radar. I mean, Carly Fiorina.
What about Chris Christie? Where
Chris
has he
Christie,
been?
Or, yeah. Well, Carly Fiorina flew under a curtain.
That's true.
That fell on her, but she seemed to handle that very well. And Ted Cruz seemed thrilled about House Speaker John Boehner resigning. Boehner had called Cruz a jackass, so no love lost there. But Rick, you start. What are we missing?
Well, Chris Christie's got a storm coming up the East Coast, and he canceled his campaign events. He's famous for storms. He's back in New Jersey. Whether or not it hits directly, he'll have that to cope with in memories, for better or worse, of Superstorm Sandy a couple years ago. I think I'm fascinated now by the fight that's going on between Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. Ted Cruz put out a video this week that featured former Ron Paul supporters talking about why they support Ted Cruz. Very personal. And Cruz and Paul are engaged in a war of words. A lot of people are talking about Rand Paul's campaign, about how long it might last, given his fundraising numbers and giving the seeming lack of energy out there in the base.
Yeah.
And Ted Cruz hoping to get some of the support potentially from Donald Trump if he ever leaves the race.
Which,
Juana, what are we missing in your view?
I want to jump back to the other side of the aisle and talk about Democrats again. One thing that went unnoticed in our conversation about fundraising is that so far Hillary Clinton has not attacked Bernie Sanders personally. She barely says his name. She doesn't talk about him. She lets her surrogates, Claire McCaskill of Missouri, sticks out as one. I mean, they do that work for her. But now that there's this $2 million fundraising gap, Bernie Sanders exceeding expectations, I'm watching to see when Hillary Clinton, frankly, takes the gloves off and whether or not she will do that ahead of that first debate when she's out on the campaign trail.
Well, and while you're on Hillary Clinton, Rick, do you agree that the fact that the man first in line to replace John Boehner went on Fox News and pretty much said that the Benghazi committee was formed just to politically attack Hillary Clinton, does that take her off the email hook?
It's a huge gift to the Clinton campaign because they're able to say, look, this is what the presumptive speaker says. It's all politics. That's the messaging that she wants out of the upcoming hearing on Benghazi and the whole takeaway on email. So I think she was thrown a lifeline from one of the unlikeliest places with those, one of those Washington gaffes. And, of course, there's going to be leadership elections in a few days. We'll see if Kevin McCarthy's comments hurt him in his bid to become House Speaker.
Yeah.
Rick Klein, political director with ABC News. Juana Summers, politics editor with Mashable. Thank you so much to both of you.
My pleasure.
Thanks.